Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Heavenly Father, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we praise you for all that you've done and all your works, Lord. Especially, Lord, all the revival meetings that have taken place throughout our city and county this month, Lord. I pray that this is just only the beginning of what we will see, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will be on board with your will as we go forward. Lord, the world all around us is dark. We see it every day. It seems to just get worse. But, Lord, we have joy and hope this morning. As we just sang, Lord, we have the blood of Jesus that he paid on our behalf. We thank you for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, Lord. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would join us this morning, sit down amongst us. Lord, I pray for the rest of our service time together. I lift up Brother Cal to you as he brings the word. Lord, soften our hearts. Make your word real to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before you sit down, look at your neighbor and say, he's here.
He's here.
Now look at your other neighbor and say, he's here.
He's here.
All right, please be seated. We're returning back to our theme, preaching theme for the year. An open door in 24. And God has opened all kinds of doors for different ministries and different issues, different areas. But here, I believe God has opened the door in 24 for revival, for a season, for such a time as this in our lives. And have mercy, we need revival. Second Mile Church needs revival. The church in Montgomery County needs revival. The church in the state of Tennessee needs revival. And how many of you understand and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, our nation needs revival. God bless. So, and I believe revival is here. Not in all its fullness, but it's coming. It's here. I sense it. I mean, Governor Bill Lee, I should put that proper name on the front end, signed a proclamation. You've all heard about it. I read it up in here. That Tennessee, during the month of July, would pray and fast for revival. Just last Friday morning, we were at the courthouse steps, and Representative Fritz, who along with a couple of others, helped write the resolution. Read it again, and then we pastors that were there began to pray over different things. I will tell you, the prayer time at the courthouse steps, I'm praying that revival would go from the courthouse, the schoolhouse, all the way to the White House. Hallelujah. We see revival happening. We've been in church now for almost every night except July the 4th, and we're seeing churches come together. Didn't you sense that unity of spirit here at our place on Wednesday night?
Yes, yes.
Were any of y'all here?
Yes.
Didn't you sense that spirit of unity and harmony of churches coming together? I want to tell you, pastors are loving one another. They've gotten away from this territorial mess. We're all about the kingdom. And denominational lines are falling by the wayside. I'm Southern Baptist, I admit it. I haven't got to repenting over that yet, but I'm Southern, but I want to tell you, when revival comes, denominational lines fall by the wayside. There's one church, one family of God. Some of the rest of you that didn't get mad a few minutes ago are now mad. Hallelujah. Revival is here. I mean, we're seeing the people of God come together in unity, loving on one another, serving one another. There's prayer meetings going on all over Montgomery County. Hallelujah. We're seeing people lock arms, grab hands, all for the sake of the gospel. It's happening. It's here. And we need to believe it. We need to agree with it. I hope y'all will be here tomorrow night. I hope you want revival as bad as I want it. I hope you want revival worse than I want it. We need it. And meetings don't get it done. Prayer, fasting, and repentance is what gets it done. So let's continue to move in that direction. Now, this is the prayer that Habakkuk the prophet is praying for the nation of Judah. And times were tough in Judah. Times were not good. I mean, they were in a mess. And by the way, when you study revivals in the Bible, when you study revivals in church history, God usually sends revival in the midst of horrible days. And the Babylonian army had laid siege to Jerusalem. And they've been surrounded. You know, all these cities back in the day had fortified walls. And so if you wanted to conquer a city, you just surrounded the city with your army. And this had been going on for almost 2 years. And now the people of God are in a tough way. They are starving. They're suffering physically. They're suffering socially and relationally. They're suffering financially. They're suffering in all kinds of ways. They're suffering morally. They're suffering ethically. They're suffering spiritually. Sounds familiar. And so the prophet Habakkuk is praying that God would revive his work in the midst of those years. He's praying for revival. Now, he's come a long ways. In chapter 1 of the book of Habakkuk, he's asking this question, where is God? How many of y'all, be honest, from time to time and things get to, you ask that question, where is God? Well, in chapter 2, he's saying, God, what are you doing? But when you get to chapter 3, he's saying, God, revive your work in the midst of the years. In my life, he has now moved from question marks to exclamation points. He's no longer debating with God and doubting God. He's trusting God. He has moved from complaining to praising God. And that's where he's at. And so he doesn't understand why everything is going on the way that it is. But he knows this, that his God is bigger than any problem that he may have. And by the way, I don't care. Yeah, I care what you're going through. I sure do. I'm your pastor. Well, not everybody here. I'm not everybody's pastor that's here, okay? But I do care what you're going through. But I want to tell you, our God has all the answers. He is the problem solver. He can do whatever he wants to do. And so Habakkuk recognizes that and he begins to praise God. Verses 16 through 19 might be the greatest praise chorus in all the Bible. Andrew, you need to write a song, verses 16 through 19. It'll be a hit, brother, I promise. And so there's a little word in here that tells you where this praise is going for God. And you see that three times Habakkuk uses this little word. It's Selah. Say that with me. Selah. Now, this is a musical term. And it was used whenever music was being transposed from a lower key into a higher key. You see, he's moved from asking, where's God? What's God doing? To, oh God, revive me. Revive your people. He's moving into a higher key. One of my heroes, Billy knows who I'm talking about, Dr. John Phillips, great author, great preacher, fantastic man of God. He's with Jesus now. But you know what he said this word meant? There. What do you think about that? Y'all don't get it, do you? Let me read verse 2 again. Oh, Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath. Remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. See, like there, what do you think about that? Hallelujah. We hadn't even gotten to the sermon yet. Y'all are in trouble. Revival is what he's praying for. And he moves in this prayer to praise. And we don't sing it very much. I think it's now tagged on to the end of Brandon Lake's song, Praise. Doesn't he sing this doxology in that? Does anybody know the song I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Y'all know Brandon Lake? Some of you younger folks ought to know that. Elevation Worship? All right. Well, there's a song on the tag end of that they do the doxology. And it could be that Habakkuk is wanting to sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. Praise God, all you creatures here below. Praise God above all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the praise chorus he's using there specifically, I think, in verses 17 through 19. Hadn't been written yet, but it sure hits the nail on the head. So let's take a look at three great truths of revival in this great chapter. Y'all ready? All right, here's the first one. And we've just touched on it there in verses 1 and 2. Revival begins when we surrender to God's plan. When we surrender to God's plan. When we surrender to His way and His will. Now, this is the Cal Hampton Standard Version. In verse 2, Habakkuk is saying, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Your plans are bigger than my plans. You know best. You know better than I do. And Father, my kingdom's got to go so that your kingdom can come. Hallelujah. And when you get to that point in your life, when you are sold out and surrendered, you don't have to understand everything. Who am I talking to here? You don't have to understand everything that's going on because God does. He's got all the knowledge. He's got all the wisdom. There isn't anywhere where you are not alone. You can't get away from God. Hallelujah. Jonah found that out. He's with you. And when you get to that point and place in your life like Habakkuk you've gotten to, that God, you know best. You've got a bigger plan than I do for my life and our people. And God, I'm sold out to it. I'm surrendered. When you get to that point, revival begins to take place in your spirit. And the Spirit of the living God begins to dwell and to minister life in you and through you and for you. How many of you would like some of that? You'd like, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Revival begins when we surrender to God's plan. I don't understand everything that's going on in our nation right now. I don't understand how anybody could take a pot shot at our former president. I don't understand how things turn out the way they do. I don't understand injustice of any kind. I don't understand violence. Violence has no place in our nation. Amen? I don't understand any of that, but what I do know is this. God is working His plan. His providential hand is upon us. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, anybody, He's working. Hallelujah. He's working. And then, this is so good. He says, in the midst of the years, make it known. But God, in wrath, will you remember mercy? Now, Habakkuk knew God had been trying to get the nation of Judah. He'd been trying to get their attention. They'd been committing idolatry, immorality, and injustice for years. God had sent His word to the people over and over and over again. And they wouldn't listen. And so now they're surrounded by this Babylonian army. And I mean, people are starving. Famine and disease were rampant. Oh my goodness. Things are falling apart. And yet he says, God, you know best. You know what to do. And I'm sold out to whatever it is that you're all about. I'm going to hitch my wagon to you. Follow you wherever you want me to go. 70 years later, after the Babylonian invasion, God moved on the heart of an old Persian king by the name of Cyrus. And Cyrus signed in a proclamation that says, any Jew that wants to go back to Jerusalem from Babylon can go. And go they did. Over 5,000 of them. To rebuild the temple. To rehang the city gates. To fix all the ruin and the rubble from the city walls. To refurbish the holy city of God. I'm going to tell you, God knows what He's doing. And then 600 years after this, do you know what happened? God sent His Son. Hallelujah. What's His name?
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
Say it one more time.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus came to this old sin-cursed planet of ours, and He walked perfectly. He never sinned. He lived up to all of God's standards. He kept every one of God's commandments. And that's how the Holy One of God was able to become the sacrifice for all of our sins. The Bible says He satisfied God's wrath towards sin. Hallelujah. But praise God, it gets better than that. That's the day that the wrath of God met the mercy of God, and bless God, mercy won. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mercy won. Whew. I could go on with that point there for a while, because God has shed mercy on each one of us. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? My, 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 my. Sometimes we get to thinking a little bit more of ourselves than we should. But when you get to the point and place when you realize He's God and I'm not, and you need Him, and you begin to follow Him and just sell out to Him and surrender to Him, God begins to revive your spirit. That's what we need. So revival begins when we surrender to God's plan. What does that look like? What does that look like in your life today? Here's the second truth I want to point us to. Revival blossoms when we seek God's purpose. When we seek God's purpose. Is it already 9:48? I'm talking too slow, I guess. Revival blossoms when we seek God's purpose. Now, I don't have time to read verses 3 all the way down through 15 and 16. But what he's doing here, the prophet Habakkuk is looking back at the past. And he's seeing how God has moved and worked in the past. And how He had worked on behalf of His people. And it was an amazing thing how God's presence had come down off Mount Sinai. And then His presence and His power guided and guarded the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. And how He fed them and protected them and provided for them. And then when the time was right, what'd they do? They took the promised land. But over and over again, these verses are looking back at the past. You know, can I just share something real quick with you? This really has nothing to do with my point. But, church members can just be really silly sometimes, just like pastors. I thought surely somebody would shout amen on that. I had a church member come up to me one time, and he said, Pastor Cal, I know where God came from. And I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, I know where God came from. I said, no, you don't. God has no beginning and no end. He's just God. He is, He always has been, and He always will be. Somebody shout amen, second mile. He always has been, He is, He always will be. I said, what in the world are you talking about? And you know what he did? He read Habakkuk 3:3 to me. God came from Teman. Teman is a place. It's and the word literally means south, and it's up in Jordan. It's real close, Billy, to the city, that rock-walled city that we walked through called Petra. It's where Esau's descendants settled in Edom. And so the reference here is God coming down off of Mount Sinai and dwelling with his people and moving them from place to... How many of you know when you look back at the past, you can see how God has worked and it provides faith and trust for you? Revival begins to blossom when we seek God's purpose. You know, you can't always know God's purpose, but when you look back at the past and how God has moved, you can see what God's purpose was. Do you remember when we moved to Louisville? Do you remember when we moved to Louisville, Kentucky? Do you remember that? Yes. She'll never forget it, and I won't either. Wally Vinson, Jeff Baggett, and Scott Steinsaltz helped me load up a 26-foot moving van over on George Avenue. And we were going to Louisville. We were going to seminary. And the day we pulled out of George Avenue and went to Louisville, she and I didn't even know where we were going to live. They said, oh, you can come to the Gospel Ghetto. We may have an apartment for you. Maybe. Couldn't even get them to tell us yay or nay. We get up there, and we move into this 900-square-foot upstairs apartment. You should have seen us trying to get Diana's piano up them steps. It was a little three-bedroom. Both my daughters had a bedroom. Diana and I had a bedroom. But after we'd been there about a week, every appliance, electrical appliance in the apartment blew up. It sounds real funny now, but it wasn't then. And I mean, it was one thing after the next that happened. I couldn't say, I wanted to say like a back, God, what are you doing? Neither one of us had a job. But you know what? She wound up being a contract worker over at the post office at the seminary. I wound up getting a job with UPS from 5 to 11, loading tractor trailers for UPS, filling up three semis a night. I can't tell you how many college students I went through that. Anyways, what I'm saying is, and then we didn't have a church home. We didn't know one single solitary person in Louisville, Kentucky. But God provided a church home. 6 months later, I began to pastor my first church 55 miles outside of Louisville. These folks that, you know, think, oh, I'm worn out. I don't have much time for that. Because I know what it's like to go to school full time and then to work until 11 o'clock at night and get home and have to study until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And to pastor a church on the weekend. I know what that's all like. But you know what, y'all, I can look back now at all of that and see God's purpose and plan that he was working in my family's life. I'm so thankful we went ahead and did that. I'm sitting here looking at the Rainies. Don't they look good? Look up, Donna. You look good this morning. But I remember talking to Mike and Donna when Wade and Casey were going through this, you know, this call to the missions. And eventually, God... After several years, you heard it here last week or 2 weeks ago. And God has moved them now to the Dominican Republic. And I'll tell you what, my parents ran off and left the kids to do mission work in Busan, South Korea. So I know a little bit of what that's like. And Mike and Donna, we talked to them and I could just tell their hearts were breaking. And they still miss them. But we were so blessed to be down there together and watch those kids, those grandchildren, doing missions and doing work. And God knows the hearts of Mike and Donna. And I will tell you, God's so good. He brought Lane and Sean to Clarksville with those two Cracker Jack grandsons. Hallelujah. And there's a third one coming. You can look back at the past. You understand what I'm saying? You can look past and see how God has worked time and time and time and time again. He's working His plan. And His plan's better. And we can see His purpose in things oftentimes when we look back. And I want to ask you, what has God done for you? Has He healed you? Has He saved you? Has He blessed you? Has He done something marvelous for you? Just go ahead and give Him praise in the house today. And so, revival blossoms when we seek God's purpose. Here's the final thing, and this is what I really wanted to get to. Can I just stretch? Can y'all just give me 10 more minutes? Revival blesses when we sing God's praise. Did you know you can praise God in tough times? There's a special relationship and fellowship with God when you can praise Him in the midst of tough days. Now, I could go around the room this morning and y'all could all give testimony to having some tough days. Amen? If you don't agree to that, God may send you a tough day today. Habakkuk knew once the Babylonians got into the city, he understood what was going to happen. He knew what was going to take place. Man, he knew they were going to ransack the city. He knew they were going to tear down the temple. He knew that they were going to burn the city gates. He knew that the walls would look like ruin and rubble. He knew that many of the best of the Jewish nation would be hauled off into slavery. He knew that there would be famine and disease and 100% unemployment. He knew all this stuff. And yet he began to praise God. Are y'all ready for this? Man, here it is, Andrew. Here's your hit song right here. Verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Look at your feet. They look like deer's feet. And He will make me walk on my high hills. Whew. You can praise God in tough times because of who God is. He's faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He knows what's going on. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He'll insulate you, not from trouble, but in the midst of trouble. Glory to God. And you can praise Him even though everything else is falling apart around you. Let me ask you a question. What if the thing that you fear the most happened? What if the thing that you fear the very most happened? Could you go ahead and praise God? Habakkuk says, man, I know what's going to happen when the Babylonians take over. There'll be no harvest. There'll be no crops. There'll be no fruit on the trees. There'll be no grapes on the vine. There'll be no flocks in the field. There'll be no cattle on the hills. But just so no one mistakes it, I'm going to go ahead and praise God. What if, let me put it like this. If, how do I say this? What if the things that you thought were most important, what if success in business, financial prowess? What if a great job came your way? What if a cruise ship vacation around the world came your way? Prosperity, pleasure, good health. If that was most, those things, one of those things was most important to you, if they came to take place, you'd be happy, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Yeah, you would be. Some of y'all would actually smile. But what would happen if you lost that thing that was most important to you? You'd have trouble. You couldn't praise the Lord because you've lost the most important thing in your life. Can I just go ahead and share with you? If God's the most important person in your life, if loving Him, if serving Him, if praising Him, if glorifying Him, if living for Him, if following Him is the most important thing in your life, you can praise God anywhere, anytime, any place. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. And I've said all of that to say this. The reference here to deer's feet, I'll make your feet like deer's feet. Have you ever watched a deer and how they climb? Their hind feet go right where their front feet were. And then they do the same thing and they continue to climb because a deer instinctively knows that the higher they go, the safer they are. Are y'all understanding the application? The greater you praise God, the more matchless your praise is. The higher God takes you above your circumstances and your perspective changes. Hallelujah. And He takes you to a safe place where no one or nothing can harm you. And by the way, when you've lost everything else but God, He's more than enough. He's all you need. Glory to His name. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God deserves our praise. Pray with me. Ariel, you come. Andrew, you come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you need to get things right with God. I can't tell you, you're in the best place you could be right now. And you need to receive God's best. You need to offer up forgiveness for your lack of faith or your lack of praise. And right where you sit right now, if you would just say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. But I am ready to surrender to your plan and your purpose. And I'm going to praise you no matter what. Strip me of my pride. Strip me of my unbelief. Give me what I need today. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, you're not by yourself. At one point in time, everybody in this room was lost. And you can't praise God if you don't know God. And I just want to say to you right now, whoever you are, If you have never stepped out and claimed Jesus Christ publicly as your Lord and Savior, you're going to leave here just the way you came in. You're going to leave here lost and undone. But my Bible tells me if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and by faith turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you of all your sin, and He's the only way to salvation, and you'd be willing to surrender your life to Him as the Lord of your life, He will forgive you and He'll set up shop in your spirit and He'll lead you all the rest of your days. But I can't do that for you. You've got to do that. And right now, where you sit, if you would just pray. I think there's several here this morning that need to do that. The devil sold you a bill of goods, and you realize you may be religious, but you're lost. And you need to come publicly today, stating that you've decided to follow Jesus, that you surrendered your all to Him. And we're going to ask you in just a moment to come. Whether you're saved or lost, we're going to ask you to come. If you need to pray, you've got business with God today, the altar is the place to meet Him. I want to pray for you, and you get that thing right with God. If you need to be saved, or you have been saved here today, you come forward. We'll help you get started right. If you need to repent of some issues, of some things, and get right with God, today, revival's for us right here today. It's here. It's available. Oh, God, pour out Your Spirit on our people this morning. God, do what only You can do. Minister life during this time to us. God, help us. Help us, help us, help us. Give us the courage, the boldness, the strength to do what You're calling us to do. Whether it be for salvation, spiritual growth, rededication, or I like the word revival. This is Your time, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.